Hello. Can you say hello?
Hello.
Welcome to Outer Experience, episode number 7, I think. On today's episode, Tim Brazier rejoins the show and we discuss Ernest Saves Christmas, one of the best Christmas movies ever made, ever. If you like what you hear, please subscribe. Give us a like on the old iTunes or a 5-star review, whatever it is. And if you'd like to reach out to the show, send us an email at outerexperiencepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you, Cassie, for pressing buttons on the microwave.
It's the oven.
Hello and welcome to Outer Experience. Because if you're in the experience, Tim,
you got to get out of it.
Get on out of it. We are pleased to welcome back reoccurring guest, crowd favorite, Tim Brazier.
The only guest besides Cassie.
Yeah, I know. You're also the only one who listens besides Mom.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
No, I've had another guest, I think. Yeah,
me and Mom talk about it all the time.
Oh, yeah. This is why we do it. We do it for the fans.
Yeah. The fans are, yeah, they love his stuff.
Yeah.
Brenna... fill her up is a big listener.
Oh, she's gonna love this episode.
At least she listened to one of them. I'm not sure if she's ever listened.
Hey, that's half of our audience right there.
She said she made all of her kids listen to it too, and
good.
They didn't think it was as funny as she did, but you know,
they probably had a laugh or two. Well, they probably haven't seen Pippi. I doubt they've seen those glorious movies, and even if they have seen them, I bet it didn't really, you know, sink in. Years of growing up with those films are really what makes it humorous. So,
yeah. Well, so I think that's one of the things. Like our great appreciation for film is why I'm here tonight. You know.
Oh man, Tim. Yes, please introduce what we're doing tonight.
So, after listening to your Christmas podcast, which was probably one of the highlights of my holiday season this year.
Thank you. We get that a lot.
One of the things, though, is when you're going through all your movies, yeah, you've probably gotten it all the time. It was amazing. one of my favorite movies wasn't on the list, and I know you said there was a lot of movies that didn't make the cut, but my favorite Christmas movie of all time, Ernest Saves Christmas.
Is it really your favorite?
Yeah, of course it is.
I feel like it's one of those ones I can't scrape the surface on it, so that's why I left it off of my list, because I was like, you know what? This deserves a full episode, so I'm not even going to mention it.
Definitely. I know how you feel. That's how I usually do my top tens. And
Shawshank Redemption, Ernest Saves Christmas.
Exactly. No, this is like, I think this is probably like the first Christmas movie that I actually remember seeing in the theaters.
You saw this in the theaters?
I think so. I don't know.
1988. How old were you in 1988 then? I wasn't even born yet, so I didn't see it.
I was like 40.
Oh, yeah.
42? I am 40 now. So, how old are I? I was born in 78, so I must have been 10 years old.
Wow, what a time to see it.
I don't know if I actually saw the movie. I know I saw the preview. And like... there was something about like reindeer getting like put in like a truck, and I was like, I gotta see that.
It is a great movie,
and I did eventually.
Oh man!
And I think I remember like liking it because it was one of those movies that like when we would watch it, like Dad would laugh, and I thought my dad was cool at the time, and so I thought if he thought it was funny, this is a good movie.
It's funny. I used to watch movies like that too. I'm like, oh, I think Dad would like this or something. Like he'd like laugh at that. What would Dad laugh at in this movie?
He laughed at the entire thing.
The snakes.
I think, yeah, he's a big Ernest fan.
Oh yeah. Who isn't?
No, everybody is, and I think out of all the Ernest movies, because there's been a lot over the years, this is for me the best Ernest movie of all time.
I would agree with that for sure. Yes. So, for those who aren't aware, and you all are aware because you're Braziers. But the Ernest movies, Jim Varney, is that his name? Is that how you say it?
Sure.
He was the star of this franchise called Ernest Does Something.
We probably should have found out.
Yeah, we probably should have checked. I think it's Jim Varney. Yeah, it's Jim Varney. I got it right here. But
What is there? So there's Ernest Saves Christmas, which is the best. Ernest yes. Scared Stupid, which was
dumb. Ernest Saves Christmas actually wasn't the first, though. It is the best.
What's the first one? Ernest Goes to Jail?
Ernest Goes to Camp is actually
Ernest
the first one.
Ernest Goes to Camp.
And that was what I think that one kind of like was one of those ones that like paved the way for all the future Ernest adventures.
It did.
That was relatively successful.
Oh, good. And then they made like now, nine.
Yeah, it made hundreds of dollars.
Oh, I got them right here. So we got Ernest Goes to Splash Mountain was a TV movie. That, you know, deep cut right there. Ernest Goes to Jail. I've seen that one.
Yeah,
that Ernest was a good one. Scared Stupid.
Well, so you started to kind of go downhill after jail.
Yeah, then you got Ernest Rides Again. Ernest Goes to School. Ernest Doesn't Go to School. Ernest Goes to the Beach. Ernest Goes to the Library. No, I'm kidding. These aren't real. But the Ernest Goes to School is real. Oh, man.
They're all amazing.
They are all amazing.
Slam
what
Dunk
is it,
Ernest.
What is it about Ernest's character, Tim, for you that defines him? I define him and why you think he's one of the best characters ever put to film.
Well, you know, I don't know. There's just something very, I don't know. For me, it's like if you've ever like kind of like stood in front of a mirror and like made like funny faces and done like goofy voices and stuff like that. To me, like, it's just a guy doing that for an entire 2 hours. And it's
surprised.
Exactly. Yeah. There's something magical about that, you know, somebody that's got that kind of love for the dramatic and flair that he just, you know, doesn't hold anything back. And he does what people only do in the privacy of their bathroom in front of the whole world.
Oh, yeah. There really isn't a single part of that movie, nor any other Ernest movies that I've seen, where I'm like, Ernest isn't a real character kind of thing. I feel like he's a real person existing in a different dimension. You know, he just, like, you know, when some people are acting goofy or there's a little bit of reservation, so it's like, oh, this actor didn't really nail that scene. I feel like you don't get that with Ernest.
No.
It's just, yeah, he's 100% Ernest. He gives an Ernest effort, if you will, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I never used his name as a... That's beautiful.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, we're going to dive into Ernest Saves Christmas because there is a lot to dive in here. So, Tim, introduction of the movie. We meet our protagonist and titular character, Ernest, and he's, you know, driving the taxi. What do you learn from Ernest, and why do you think this is a great way to start the film?
Well, I think first of all, you kind of just like see like right up front, you know, like Ernest really has just got this zest for life, you know, and he's kind of like this guy that, you know, like you said, he's earnestly giving 100% in everything that he does. And he's a taxi driver and he's got a guy that needs to get to the airport and he needs to get there fast. And Ernest, you know, he's just got this heart of gold. I remember. So there's like this book called Save the Cat, where it talks about like, you know, when you want to like introduce a movie or something like that, you got to have your protagonist, you know, like kind of like basically tell the audience who they are at the beginning, right? And do something, you know. And I just think you see this guy who's got like this incredible love of life, and also just kind of like he's out there to help this guy get to the airport, and he is going to do whatever it takes to get this poor guy there. In fact, you know, maybe a little bit more than the guy would want. It's, you know,
it's
he's
a good driver.
He's kind of, yeah, he's an amazing driver. I mean, what kind of taxi driver gives like 100% like that? I don't know of any. I mean, he's going back, he's going forth. The guy in the back seat did not put on his seatbelt, which was, you know, kind of
his mistake, you know.
His, yeah, exactly. And so he's flying back and forth.
Flies out of the taxi at one point.
Yeah.
You're going to be late. Come on.
And he does that face when he's lifting him up. That's a good face.
Yeah, he throws him down the chute and like kind of, you know, here, you're going to need a jacket, you know, and he's throwing all this stuff in there.
Very thoughtful.
It's amazing. And so you know, we've got this guy. We know that he's a sincere guy. He's out there, you know, he's going to help, you know, the person do whatever he wants. And who comes by, or who comes along, but
Mr. Santos.
Mr. Santos, yes, exactly. You know, this old man, old gentleman, who, you know, needs a ride. You know, he's trying to find, he's trying to find this guy named Joe, because he's got some very important business that he has to do. And so he hires Ernest. Ernest is in kind of a hurry because he's, you know, running from the security guards at the airport, which, you know, that happens. Throws his stuff in there, and he's out there. He's driving the guy to where he needs to go, and they're talking about Christmas. And so I think, like, the stage is set for an amazing experience just right off the bat. This guy, you know, he's going to the airport. They're going to have fun. They're going to talk about Christmas. They're in the car. And all of a sudden, what happens? But a Christmas tree falls off the roof of the car in front of him.
It's true.
Yeah.
And what does he say? This little beauty or something like that? I forget how he says it. I wish I would have watched this movie recently. I just remember him grabbing the tree, but I don't remember what he said.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, he stops in the middle of traffic, you know, like everybody's kind of like going all around and all that kind of stuff. The tree is in the middle of the road. Ernest, like, just runs out there, grabs the tree, doesn't even, you know, can't, you know, tries to get it, you know, to safety as fast as he can. Whoa, little tree, you know, and he throws it through the window and it lands on Santa Claus's lap, and Santa says, I take it you really needed a tree. And
no,
Ernest says,
No.
I already got one. I think this is the guy, and I think even Santa Claus is a little impressed at this point that this is a guy that just, you know, really loves Christmas and knows how to keep it, you know, all year. So.
Oh, yeah. And that's what this movie does really well, is it sets this stage very well for this giant, larger-than-life character in Santa Claus and makes him very approachable, right? And you see how, you know, he's on this mission to find the new successor of Santa Claus, which is who Joe Carruthers, he's hoping Joe Carruthers is going to be this new Santa. But, you know, Ernest being the kind of whimsical sidekick for everything, it's cool that, you know, he's just a good guy, and Santa and him hit it off real well, and Ernest is a good example of having that childlike belief and, you know, just being good to people. And I think that is shown in the first couple of minutes of this beautiful movie.
Mm-hmm.
When do they meet? What's her name? When does she come in?
Pamela.
Oh, Pamela.
Yeah. Well, you don't really know her name for actually a little while, because she kind of...
Doesn't she go by Harmony or something like that?
Yeah. She's trying to kind of, you know, she's a runaway. And I think that's kind of like the brilliance of this movie, is you've got Ernest, who is like 100% full blown, I love Christmas. And then you've got like the opposite side, the yin to his yang, which is Pamela, you know, this orphan girl who is just kind of disenchanted with everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's a teenager. She doesn't want, you know, she's sick of her parents telling her what to do. And she just decided, hey, I'm going to go out on the road, and I'm going to just kind of, you know, I'm sick of this kid stuff.
Exactly. And she's a good character. I mean, she's kind of your John Everyman, you know. Everyone can relate. Everyone's been in Harmony's position, where we feel like, you know, we just don't fit in and we have to make our own path. But I think there's some growing for this character, don't you think, Tim?
Oh, definitely. I think, well, this movie's all about growth, you know, and really kind of like understanding what the real spirit of Christmas is, you know, and I think even Santa Claus, you know, in his own way, kind of, you know, interacting with these different characters and their different, you know, directions and dreams and hopes and all that kind of stuff, I think, you know, comes in and kind of understands a little bit more about the spirit of Christmas at the end as well.
Oh, yeah.
Which is amazing, you know. I mean, I don't know. I just, you know, this movie goes in and asks some of the really big questions. You know, it's you know, what is the true meaning of Christmas? You know, what does it mean? What is the magic behind Santa Claus? All those kinds of things. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. Colton, if you were able to be in the shoes of Ernest and Pamela here, and you're able to kind of like act and hang out with Santa Claus, like how would that be for you?
Man, that is a great question. Well, I can say that if it were this Santa that's in this movie, I think I'd be pleasantly pleasant.
Wait, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, the Santa Claus in Ernest Saves Christmas.
They're all the same person, are they?
Well, you know, there's the Tim Allen one.
Yes.
I got to get married.
Yeah.
Another great iteration, but maybe not as good as the Ernest Saves Christmas.
This is like Tim Allen a little bit farther down the road, you know?
Yes, yeah. This one, I feel like he captures, he's just like a sweet old man. Now, if I had the opportunity to meet this one, I hope I would be as Ernest is, and I would just embrace it, and I would, you know, because once Ernest commits to being like this man Santa Claus, there is not one point where he's like, hey, okay, maybe he's not Santa. You know, there's some parts where he's like, he is a little strange, but he's the one, you know, and then he, you know, even eventually, you know.
Yeah, Ernest is just he's a nice guy, but even he has, I think, a little bit of trouble, like, believing that this guy's really Santa Claus.
He does, but he never, like, swears him off, you know what I mean? Like, whereas other people in the movie call him crazy and all this stuff, and he goes to prison for saying he's Santa Claus, which just doesn't seem fair. Well, I guess, actually, he hit that one guy. But it just didn't seem that fair. But Ernest never does that. Ernest is always like, hey, you know what? You can say what you want to say. You're a great guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, like, you know, it just seems like a lot of people have been, you know, or we just saw the new movie on Netflix with Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
He's Santa Claus. And he actually does a pretty good job. When I saw the previews for that, I didn't think I was going to like it, but.
Really?
I don't know if you've seen it, but it's halfway decent.
Cassie and I watched like part of it, and then we turned it off.
It's not Ernest level, but it's pretty good. But anyways, there's like this scene where he goes to jail, and like then he goes back like at the end of the movie, and he's talking to his wife, and he's like, "You'll never believe where I went." And I'm like, actually, if you like take all the Santa Claus movies, he's been to jail.
He's been
pretty
to prison
much
every other movie.
Santa's in
he
the
gets
slammer?
Arrested a lot. Yeah, yeah, I think that's like that's a big theme.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
It's
like,
just because I think that society has an issue with people just giving out stuff, you know, and that's always been the biggest issue with Santa Claus. He gives out stuff and he doesn't ask for anything back. So
does breaking,
you know,
and entering a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, he does do that a lot. But, you know, he means well. But, you know, when you can't trust everybody, it just, you know, makes it hard for everyone else. I found Ernest Saves Christmas on YouTube, and I'm actually watching part of it right now. It is a great movie. We should do maybe a, what's it called? Commentary on the movie.
No. It's pretty, yeah, exactly. Like, walk through the entire thing. So if you start the podcast right now, we'll follow
through. Yeah, we'll go through. We're going to start the entire scene by scene. No, but this is something that actually I'm just going by. Early on in the movie, where Ernest drops off Santa or Mr. Santos. Well, it's actually Santa Claus because he doesn't introduce himself that way. But he drops him off at the children's place where Joe is, and he's like, he doesn't have any money. And Ernest, being the man he is, lets him go. So it ends up getting
actually
fired,
what kind of gets
it?
Him fired, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor guy. But it's so nice of him. This is a good character to you know, model your behavior off of. What would Ernest do?
I did think it was a little strange. Like, after he, like broke the window of the taxi cab and, like, almost killed that guy.
Didn't get fired.
The movie, you know? The thing he gets fired for is because he didn't take the fare from this old man.
Yeah, so, exactly.
He's got a boss that, you know, he can allow certain things, but there's, you know, there's just a line he won't cross.
Oh, man.
It's like, you can trash the car as much as you want, but if you do not accept the fare...
Are you kidding me?
So yeah, but yeah,
well, maybe he got a really good
essentially gets
him,
fired for being too nice of a guy.
Exactly, which kind of it's an interesting theme that is throughout Ernest Saves Christmas, because then Santa then meets with Joe, or tries to meet with Joe, and Joe's doing that kid show, the puppet thing. Oh, me too. Anyway, that's a little clip from the movie. Again, I'm watching it on YouTube, so that was from
that's
the
good,
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Joe has like a kid show that he's been working on, and that's why Santa's like, hey, this guy really loves kids, and he's going to be a perfect successor for Santa. But they cancel the show, and so poor Joe is kind of like, oh, what do I do? You know, my nice guy routine isn't getting me anywhere in the real world. And then he gets the opportunity to go into Hollywood and make arguably one of the greatest movies within a movies that we've never seen. But I think we're all
dying
to see it. Yeah.
And I think a lot of that credit needs to go to his agent, Martin, who's, you know, he is like.
He's the one who coined Mr. Santos.
He did. He gave Santa, he even like gave him a like super awesome name. Yeah, I mean that guy is Mr. Hollywood. He's just making and breaking the deals like left and right, and he's gonna take Joe, who's, you know, well known I think in the community, but he's gonna take him to that next level and make, you know, probably what is I think the only bad thing about, you know, Joe leaving to be Santa Claus and stuff like that is that nobody ever finishes Christmas sleigh.
Well, they might have. Yeah, I don't know though. Now, it wouldn't have worked without Joe.
No, I think like that's it's too. You know, they do this in movies every now and then. You know, like there's an actor like making a movie, and sometimes, you know, you're watching the movie and you're like, man, you know, I'd actually rather be watching the
movie. I'd watch
than
that
making
one.
In this movie. Yeah.
Well, it's like in Home Alone, whenever he turns on Angels with Filthy Souls, you're like, oh, if only that were a real movie.
Give the change, you filthy animal.
See,
that was actually probably a little
that,
bit too
somebody
intense.
Somebody needs to go back to these movies and just be like, hey, you know, that movie that they're watching in this movie, we should make a movie about that movie.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
People would love it.
Yeah, I think they would.
Yeah, it's kind of like, movie. You know what, remember on Monsters, Inc., when they kept mentioning the play that they were rehearsing for, and then they finally did it, and they released it on the DVD. It was so good.
She's out of our hair now.
That was awesome. It's a beautiful play.
Yeah. It was really good.
Oh, yeah.
It's very talented monsters in there. She's had it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Christmas Sleigh, I think that is a movie that, and I love the play on words too. That's always really clever to do that kind of
not
stuff.
Sleigh, not sleigh,
slay, slay. About, you know, kids getting terrified,
terrorizing
Christmas.
Children terrorize Christmas, or what does he say? I forget what he says exactly. But.
I don't think he says it. He's too shocked to say anything. He just hits him.
And he boom punches him,
and that's what ends him in jail. I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
is that definitely fury over that?
Probably punches pretty hard.
Yeah. Well, he's furious, you know.
They don't call him Kris Kringle for nothing.
That's right.
I don't know what that means. But I did also skip over a great scene before we get into, because I think we need to dive into the Christmas sleigh too, and just how good the movie looked. But there's the scene where he drops off the tree at Vern's house. So is Vern a reoccurring character in all the other Ernest movies? I don't remember any of them, really.
Yeah. No, he always goes. And I think, like, Vern was, like, part of his act, like, before he started making the movies. I think there was, like a whole thing. I remember there used to be, like, commercials on TV where he would come and, like, try to sell, like, Vern, like, things.
And we're just always Vern. Is that the thing? Like, is the audience when he was doing it? He was a stand-up guy. Is that what he would do before? I assume.
Sure.
Yeah, but that's a great scene. He just he goes right in, and then Vern closes the door on him. Hello, Vern.
He's got to drop off his tree.
Ah, we're fine.
He breaks his whole house, and
he puts the giant
he's
tree
pulling
up.
The wire.
Yeah, that ought to hold. Ooh, superb. And then it falls over. It's a great scene. You just look up that part. Then he's doing the wires. I remember that always, like, I don't know. It always gave me anxiety. I'm like, can they really come out like that?
They can.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did my kitchen a little while ago, and I think I kind of, like, got to see a little bit how that would have worked. And it actually kind of made me think of that scene when you pull down the drywall and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and the wire. Oh, man. Yeah. What a scene.
Yeah, it's good. The whole thing with Vern is pretty
punch.
Awesome.
Yeah, such a good Vern.
Superb. Vern should definitely, like, you know, he's been in all the Ernest movies. So he's, like, just this great recurring character. Somebody, I think if anyone deserves an Oscar from this movie, it's probably him.
Vern?
Yeah, because you don't even see his face, but yet he conveys so much emotion.
He really does.
Through his actions.
If it's one thing they love...
I think it's part of, like, Ernest's ability, too, to kind of, like, invite the audience into the movie. You know, you're not just a spectator. You're actually you're a character. And,
So, to bring up a controversy, so we have to correct, actually, a mistake that we made.
Good.
Mr. Santos goes to prison just because he said he was Santa. This is before he hit the guy, and he's already in prison. Oh,
wait, man. He goes to prison before he's... Oh,
he goes to prison before he goes to the movie set. Yeah.
Good.
Poor guy.
Oh.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Man, I guess, well, that was back in the, what is this, the late 80s? I guess they had that law where if you ever said you were Santa, they'd throw you in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's tough. Yeah. Times have changed.
I'm pretty sure that happened to Dad a couple of times.
Yeah, well, you can't do it. It's
No, yeah, he just thought it was funny. He'd go to places and scream he was Santa, and they'd throw him in jail.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting to me, too, because now it's, like, all coming back to me as I'm watching it.
You it, like, fast forward or something, or is this?
I just do it on double time on YouTube just so I can be like, oh, now I remember. Here we go. I got some talking points. But Harmony doesn't believe
in him. This is the professional
him,
way to do this.
Or whatever her name is. What's her name again? In real
Pamela
life?
Pamela Star, I think, or something like that.
Yeah. That's like
Harmony
celebrity
Star.
Name. I don't know. Oh, that's Harmony Star is her fake name.
Yeah.
But Pamela is her real name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or something. But how does she not believe in Santa, but then they do like that whole magic thing, you know, where Ernest is pulling out the orbs that turn into toys?
I think...
the logic in the movies is difficult.
Well, I mean, the sack is what kind of, like, convinces Ernest. Like, once he, like, opens
it's
up...
It's him.
Like, it's him. Yeah, that's it. So that's, like, when Ernest knows, oh, man, you know, this guy, like, everybody thought was crazy.
Hey, James, you want to say hi?
He's legit.
Say hi.
Hi.
That was James. He likes this movie, too. Big
fan.
Yeah,
he's a big fan.
He's going to be two tomorrow. My big
that's
boy.
Exciting.
Special boy. Yeah, so it's an interesting dynamic in these Christmas movies that, you know, people don't believe in Santa Claus, yet they have presents under their trees that nobody else bought. I was talking about this with Cassie on the last episode. We're like, I just don't get it. He can't be real. There's no way. I didn't get that. Did you get that?
How could he visit all this? And it was like, well, somebody's doing it.
Yeah, somebody's
doing it. I don't know. I think maybe it's just like
you come up with a more logical explanation on why this is here. I didn't buy it. So,
well, maybe they think everybody's just like really modest, you know?
And maybe they are.
Did you get this? It's like, oh, no, it wasn't me. It was, you know.
But, yeah.
Or maybe the other person just thinks, like, this guy is such a loser, he bought himself a gift, you know?
Yeah. But with the kids, yeah. Anyway. Oh, interesting.
It's a terrible, terrible world. But, I think it's not that, like, Pamela doesn't believe, though. I think
she chooses
like, she
not
believes,
to believe.
But she doesn't really understand.
She's trying to reject her inner child because she thinks that she has to be an adult to make it on her own.
She doesn't, she's like, she doesn't believe in magic, and she's like, how can I exploit this, you know?
Exactly.
Even though there's that scene where she's got the bag, and she's trying to, like, you know.
She's trying to get the money and the unmarked bills, or what did she say?
Yes. I still don't know what that means. What is an
unmarked
bill?
You know what it means.
Oh, I guess, like, so all the numbers and stuff
cash?
Like that? Like so it's not, like, counterfeit?
Yeah. Well, I guess
I don't think Santa would.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who knows? It's beyond my area of expertise. But what I will say, and when Santa gets put into prison, first they do the fingerprint. That's a great scene. Where is the fingerprinting? And it's the little snowflake on it.
Yeah.
That should throw up some red flags, but you know,
Santa's got some weird. Santa's got some weird traits, you know, because there's the fingerprinting thing, and then, like, on the Santa Claus, when they listen to his heart, and it, like, plays Jingle Bells.
Yeah, poor guy.
And yeah. There's, you know, some interesting tells to know, like, if you're wondering if a friend of yours is Santa Claus, these are the things you need to check for, you know?
Oh, yeah. And then it's nice, because it shows him win over all the inmates in prison, and they sing that beautiful rendition of
really
12 Days
Santa
of Christmas.
Claus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, he really, all the tough guys.
That's a common theme, too. Like, I think what's one of the things that Santa does when he gets into jail most of the time, you know, or at least that happens in the Kurt Russell movie, too. He gets them all to sing in the jail.
Maybe we just need to be more like the prisoners.
Ernest kind of started this thing, though. You know, I mean, I think a lot of, like, I can't remember any movie where Santa went to jail before Ernest Saves Christmas.
I can't think of a single one where he doesn't go to jail.
Yeah, he does go to jail a lot.
Yeah. Well, I guess he doesn't always, but he's almost always in trouble. That's Santa, I tell you.
Yeah.
And he keeps giving. It's a good example.
He does. He doesn't care. You know, so, he's like, throw me in jail.
while Santa's in jail, sorry to leave the audience in suspense. I know we've been talking about this for a while. Ernest concocts an amazing plan to get him out. Do you remember what his name was? I forget, when he's the lawyer or something.
Isn't she a doll?
What is his? Does he have like a code name?
He's like the governor's assistant.
Yeah.
Or something like that. He's the assistant for the governor. He's taken the governor's daughter. Is that who it is? He's taking her on a tour of the prison system. So she's got like a report or something that she's gotta give.
And then she gives probably the biggest line of the movie, at least one of the most quoted in our family.
Yes.
Tim, do you wanna try to quote it your best way in her voice?
In her voice? I don't know if I can do that.
You don't have to.
Is this the way government really works? And then she does that flip with her hair and like hits the guy in the face. Yeah.
Oh, man.
This is another one of like the big trademarks, though, I think, of like a classic Ernest movie is he's kind of a little bit like Scooby-Doo and Shaggy. You know, like when things get rough, they like get in disguises and like do whatever this is.
Yeah. He gets in disguises. What was it? Why does he get into the old woman disguise? I remember that, but I don't remember what point it is.
I think he's trying to get, he's pretending that he's the Joe's agent's mother.
Oh, okay.
So the good one dies.
Yes. He's Martin's mother.
These steps might as well be Mount Everest.
He does do great faces, too. I'm watching this right now so you can see what he does.
Isn't she a doll?
It's so good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's amazing. It's, yeah, he's.
Governor Ellington. Yeah, I'm reading this part. This is important. Okay, good.
Yeah. So he's like, he invokes the name of the highest authority in the land, you know, to get in there. And even the police chief, you know, he's not going to go against that.
Yeah. And they all believe him because, again, he is a very convincing actor.
If somebody like came up to me, though, as committed as Ernest is to the role, I think I'd have to believe. You know, he's like,
it's very impressive.
This guy is like completely nuts.
He's a completely different person. That would be hard. Oh man.
I kind of want to see, like, I don't know. I wonder if anyone's ever like tried to solve problems this way, you know, like this Scooby-Doo method.
Well, probably could work in real life. No one's probably committed that much though. This takes genius to pull it off.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it really does. Well, there's that, what was that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio or something where he
Titanic.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, and he falls in the ocean. No, not that one. No, isn't there Catch Me If You Can or something like that? Isn't he in that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, when he's a con artist. There you go.
Yeah, and, like, his whole thing is just, like, he's, like, super good at, like, committing to these roles and, like, nobody, like, can catch him. So yeah. I feel like...
But he does get caught. But if Ernest were that guy, he'd still be running free.
He'd never get caught. Yeah.
Never. You believe 100% on the characters that Ernest is. And then we got the snake guy. Where that's to get onto the movie set, right?
Yeah.
He's one of the better ones.
That guy might be my favorite. Yeah, he's amazing.
He's good. Although, he's got a whole backstory.
When he's the mother, that's really good. Yeah, his boy like got bit by a snake.
Yeah. Poor guy.
And I got a truck full of them snakes for them movie people.
He's got the teeth and everything. It's good.
Careful. He'd be biting snakes. I love how he like always like his head like shoots forward at the guy and the guy's
it's all these movie people want. Poison.
Oh man, what a movie.
It's amazing. So it's like you've got this guy that's acting, but he's not just, you know, he's not just one character. He's like, you know, how often do you go to a movie and the guy is playing four roles in the same movie?
It's rare, and I'm telling you, he should have won an award for it. Yeah. He disappears in each of those roles.
Yeah, I guess they do it in Polar Express, but in that one, it's a little creepy.
The Polar Express!
Yeah, I think he plays almost every single character in Polar Express.
Tom Hanks does?
Tom Hanks, yeah. I think
that doesn't really count,
though.
He's not acting. He's, you know, just doing the voices. That's easy.
I think he had, like, ping pong balls, like, stuck to him or something, though, didn't he?
For every character?
I don't know. Probably.
Ping pong balls. Just put these ping pong balls on you and we'll be able to transcribe everything onto this computer. Why?
It works. Oh, man. It works.
So now we're at the point with Christmas Sleigh. So what the movie is about, aliens who terrorize Christmas, right?
I think they're aliens. It kind of looks like Swamp Thing, I think. Yeah. When it, like, actually, like, comes in.
So it's this beautiful scene, beautifully written, with him just being Joe's being a good father.
He's great with the kids.
He's great with kids. That's where he really shines in this movie. That's why I think they knew they had a hit, because it's like, hey, this guy, these scenes are really going to tug at your emotions, and then the action chemistry scenes we'll take care of with the amazing visual effects.
Yeah.
And they did. I mean, that part where he stomps through the door. I mean, talk about it. I don't know if that was like the climax of the movie or the beginning, but I mean, it got me hooked.
Yeah. But I think, you know, one of the really great things, though, is you kind of get to see, you know, I think that's a very defining scene for the character, because he's got him. He's broken down his door. You know, he's going to protect the kids with a gun from the alien that's like coming in. And
then he's going to let out a very triumphant swear word.
Yes.
But yeah, Joe can't do it. You son of a...
And so no one ever gets to see Christmas Sleigh, I think, because of that. You son of a... And he can't do it. Which is very admirable. Inspiring, you know?
Yeah, the kids were around.
Yeah, I think that's kind of his big shtick, too. It's like, you know, on his show. They never get old. They always seem new. Those three little words, please
and thank you.
There's actually, when I was driving to work the other day, there's like this big, somebody took out a billboard that says, please, thank you. And it made me think of this movie.
Oh, there we go.
That's Santa putting a message up on my board.
That's true. Do you think he's still Santa or does he retire?
No, I think he fell off the roof.
Oh, that's true. Tim Allen's Santa still.
See, yeah,
Jack Frost almost became Santa. These
are separate universes, but it's actually just one.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, so wait, is Russell? Wait, Russell Crowe, or who was the other guy? The one you just watched?
That was Russell Crowe. Yeah.
No, it wasn't Russell Crowe. Was it?
Dies at some point. I think Jack Frost kills him.
Well, that's sad.
Santa Claus 4, but that never got released.
Oh, too bad. We could have used another one of those. They kept getting better.
I heard Tim Allen doesn't really like kids. Did you?
Yeah, at least the interview. That's what Cassie and I were watching an interview with him.
I heard that from your podcast.
He like hated kids, to quote us, a very reliable source.
That's gonna be legit.
Oh, I don't like kids. Oh, anyway.
Look out!
Yeah, Tim. Look out! Oh, Tim Allen.
That better be true. Otherwise, I think Buzz Lightyear is gonna like knock down your door and...
Oh, yeah. Well, we have forgot to mention the side plot of this movie, which is the two guys at the airport or the mail room or something with the reindeer.
Yeah, and they're a continual thing in the Ernest movies, too. They were in Ernest Goes to Jail. I think they're in Ernest Goes to Camp. They're characters that keep coming back.
What are their names? Bobby and Marty? Is that... Or are they something else?
Yeah.
Hey, Bob!
Bobby is definitely the skinny guy.
Yeah.
You never know the fat guy's name because Bobby doesn't talk.
Yeah.
So he never calls him anything back.
Yeah.
That's right.
But they got a good dynamic.
They do.
Very funny.
They are, I think, like kind of a more modern Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah.
And I've never seen Laurel and Hardy, but I'm assuming that's what it's...
I was like, sure, we're going to go with that. But I'm just going to say yes. I'm not going to add anything.
What I mean by that is one of them is fat and one of them is not.
Exactly.
Which is, yeah.
That's all you need.
Which is pretty much all I know about Laurel and Hardy. So
those are like, yeah, it's like character attributes you need.
Yeah.
So after the movie, then Mr. Santos goes again to Joe's house and he's found that Joe has shaved his beard. And that's a big moment because, again, Joe's at this tipping point where he can either take the road that'll get him to fame and fortune and continue doing Christmas Sleigh and other amazing movies, or he can keep the beard and take the road less traveled by and becoming Santa Claus. Now, he might not get the fame and the love, but does he have it in his heart to still do that and take that responsibility of being Santa Claus?
when I think this is kind of like the point in the movie where there's almost like a crisis of faith, even for Santa Claus, which is, you know, like, I mean, you know, he's kind of like, you've got Ernest who's the true believer. You've got Pamela who just, you know, what's in it for me, you know, doesn't believe in the Christmas yeah. spirit and all that stuff. And you know, Santa Claus is actually kind of the character that also kind of has a little bit of a growth in the movie, and like kind of this crisis of faith, because he's starting to look like he realizes his power is slipping and all that kind of stuff. And I think when Joe like shaves the beard and stuff, he starts to kind of almost doubt, you know,
oh yeah,
is this the right guy?
When he's like, look, this isn't a magic sack, it's just feathers. I know it's feathers. Yeah. The real sack was taken. Or whatever he says when he's talking about anyway, yeah. But it's true. But I mean, it's one of those things where Santa can't prove himself because Joe's got this magic in him. He doesn't want to compromise it. So he's trying to just get him on this good heart and this understanding of children. But, you know, it's tough. And I understand Joe. I mean, we've all been there. It's tough to believe in Santa Claus sometimes. But if he comes knocking at your door and asking for you to take his spot, you really got to dig deep.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Which, luckily, he does. But, you know. Spoiler. Yes. So then we get into the glorious third act where Pamela has stolen the sack because she wanted to get the money. And then we've got Santa Claus kind of down on his luck. We got
Santa
Joe.
Santa Claus is going to like one last ditch effort to kind of get Joe on his side, but you know, yeah. It's not going good.
And then we got Joe going into his big meeting in Hollywood, and Ernest going to assist the elves with the reindeer, mm-hmm.
which is
phenomenal.
That's a lot of fun because you kind of had these two stories like going on, you know, during the thing is like the reindeer coming in these big boxes and they're busting out and just like causing all sorts of havoc in the airport shipping area or whatever it is.
The thingy, yeah.
And then so now you got these hilarious characters, Ernest doing stuff over here. You've got the Ernest. Laurel and Hardy duo doing their stuff over there, and then they're gonna come together, you know, with Santa's elves to boot. So it's just kind of like this perfect storm of hilarity, I think, that transpires at that point.
So Tim, what's your take on the elves in this movie? Because it's always interesting to see how different movies, you know, do the elves. Whether it's Elf the movie and has Will Ferrell, and then it's a bunch of other smaller characters, or it's. Yeah. What are the other elf movies? Or it's little kids like Santa Claus. These ones are old, and they have higher voices, and they wear trench coats and say stuff like, thanks, Skippy.
Yeah, that was a good part. So they have a lot of Santa's same powers, I think, which is kind of interesting. Like they know people's names, and they can do all that kind of fancy stuff.
Yeah, they do seem very competent. They seem like, you know, they can get their stuff done.
I love the part where he's like, do you guys got any ID?
Ta-da! Just, <"Da-da!" laughs>
They take their hats off and they show their pointy ears. It's like, that's good
enough.
That's
all you need. They're convinced.
So short, pointy ears, squeaky voice, and that's an elf,
yep.
Essentially.
And then they're driving these reindeer and they're trying to get them to where Santa Claus is. And then Ernest, you know, the lovable protagonist that he is, you know, he may not be the smartest guy. Unfortunately, he drives over those spikes.
Yeah. We've already established Ernest is not a very good driver.
No, he's not a great driver.
Several times.
He is just not in the right profession.
Which is really, I think, like sets you up for this perfect scene at the end where, like, you know, he's going to drive the sleigh.
This guy we've seen, just struggle through everything, whether it's driving on the freeway, driving a truck, and now he has to drive a sleigh. I mean, come on.
The most amazing vehicle
known to man, and one of the hardest ones to drive.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever tried to actually ride a reindeer drawn sleigh, but it's no cakewalk.
Yeah. Well, even Tim Allen had to have Charlie do it most of the time. You know, he didn't. Yeah,
Charlie. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Charlie's pretty good. Tim, can you name all 8 reindeer?
Yes.
Because Ernest can't sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Which one they always forgets?
Which one's the last one? Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer, and Vixen. On Comet, on Cupid, on Donnerand.
Oh, what was that one again?
Blitzen!
Oh, yeah. Blitzen.
Ah! And they take off. That thing is, this is probably the most powerful Santa sleigh that we've seen, because this one is fast and can go everywhere. They go around the world like 90 times, don't they?
Take that, Superman.
Yeah, they go really fast. Poor Ernest, he's trying to reach the little brakes or something on it, and he can't reach it because he's going so fast. That'd be hard.
I think that's important, though, because it explains like some of those questions. Like, how does this guy visit every single house in one night, you know? Well, you know, most of the things, you know, most of the things of Santa Claus you see, that's impossible. You're right. You know, the speed Tim Allen is going through and visiting houses, no way. But the way that Ernest is doing it, you kind of start to think, well, yeah, this can be done.
Oh, yeah.
And I think like he explains there's like some space-time continuum that breaks down when Santa's in a sleigh, too. So there's a lot of things that
I think that's what Charlie explains.
Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really loved.
That's a great scene, though.
Flying all I love like when she says, ride. Like, he's like, I know exactly what I'm going to ask him when, you know, when I see Santa Claus. He's like, I want to know how come he could get to our house and we didn't even have a chimney.
That's the biggest question.
It is the biggest question.
Questions of the heart.
Ask Santa anything.
Oh, man. So Ernest.
And I like his, like, the way that he envisioned it, too, that he would, like.
Yeah.
You know, kids have a hard enough time being like scared of Santa Claus, you know, as it is. You know, my kids all screamed when we first took them to the mall. But man, if he was like oozing through a vent, that's probably why. It probably looks like some kids stayed up and saw him like ooze out of a vent and they're like, what?
Poor Santa.
A lot more practical, though, than. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It makes a lot more sense than like the chimney like suddenly appearing. Like, that didn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So, Ernest, you know, again, flying around the world, and then they go all the way up into space, and then they're about to drop, and then this is one of my favorite lines. Nobody move. Nobody dies. Actually, stupid. The ho-ho Merry Christmas is my favorite part when they go through the turnstile. Oh, my goodness. What is it, like the parking thing?
Yeah.
They're like a parking checkpoint, and he flies through on the thing and says, oh, Merry Christmas, in a very casual voice,
Merry
just
Christmas.
Right through as they're speeding through.
I kind of get like this feeling like when they make it, they're probably like, when we're filming the movie, they had edited all this stuff, and I could see the him being there and just be like, hey, I got a great line there, go right there. Oh, man.
Oh, it worked perfectly. Oh, man, what a movie. So then...
And then the air brakes joke, that was a good one, too.
That one's good.
He starts to kind of get the hang of it.
Yep.
And then it stops him. Air brakes.
Oh, yeah, he does get the hang of it. I forgot, because he breaks the one brake off, but I guess that was like the mechanical setup that was supposed to help him or something. How's it going to stop?
Yeah, I wonder how that, it must have healed itself or something.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's like an elf.
That might
have
been
the technology because there was less Christmas spirit or something.
Yeah.
But then once he figured it out, it was okay. Yeah. So luckily, Pamela, when she's waiting for her train, is, you know, hearing these kids talking about how, like, the older brother is picking on the little girl because she believes in Santa. And he's like, are you stupid? Santa doesn't exist. And then Pamela's like, he does exist, and this is his sack. And then the girl's like, if it's Santa's, why do you have it?
Yeah.
And then that, you know, wakes her up to being like, hey, this guy's trying to help the kids. And then, you know, she runs over and sees Santa Claus and returns the sack, which is great. I mean, that part, I mean, I don't know if there was a dry tear in the theater when you went, if you can remember.
Yeah, I don't think there's usually a lot of dry tears. That's tough.
Yeah, dry tears. Dry eye, rather.
Dry eye in the house.
There wasn't a single dry tear.
See, I think that's one of the most awesome things about this movie, is because it's like, it is a full spectrum of emotion from
unparalleled joy.
Yeah, unbridled happiness, Christmas spirit turned up to 11 on a scale of 4, and you know, you go there, you're laughing with Ernest, all the hijinks, all the hilarity, all the fun, but then it still manages to kind of tug on those heartstrings a little bit.
Oh yeah,
kind of help us to remember what it means to be a kid and what it means to believe in Christmas.
Oh yeah, I agree, and I love it. And I'm watching the part in super fast motion of him going around the world. Yeah, he goes around a lot, and Joe luckily catches a glimpse of Santa's sleigh during this meeting, and you know, is triumphantly says "Merry Christmas, everyone!" and then runs out and runs to meet Santa outside the train station, or where are they, at the police station maybe? And then they shake hands and he turns into Santa.
Yeah, and then, transfers. You
know, then he has all that power too, because Pamela's like, oh, my name's Harmony. He's like, no, you're not, you're Pamela, blah, 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 and you live here. How did I know that?
Yeah.
You'll get used to it. Or whatever he says, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a great scene. Now, I don't know if Joe is as good of a Santa just looking-wise as the other guy was, but, you know, I feel like he'll grow into it.
Well, then he'll fall off a roof. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably because he doesn't have a real voice. The other guy, or a real beard. The other guy has a real beard. Joe then does one of his first miracles of being Santa, where, do you remember what he does?
Yeah. He makes it, well, it kind of like ties us back to the beginning of the movie, which is great because as Santa was getting off the airport, as he's, you know, kind of entering this whole thing, he you know, he's talking to a man, and of course, you know, Santa talks to everybody. He's, you know, a pleasure to sit by in the movie. What would it be like to sit by Santa Claus on an airplane?
I think it'd be the best ride of your life.
The conversations you would have would be amazing. But he meets a nice gentleman, you know, and this guy is kind of a, you know, I think sometimes, you know, I think in my life I've probably been able to relate to this guy a little bit, you know.
Yeah, you get caught up in
a little hard and. The, you know, nice guy, but gets caught up in the hustle and bustle and just, you know, he's away for Christmas and all he wants is snow. He wants
just
it to
snow.
Feel like home.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, Los Angeles, that's where they're at, right? Okay.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know if it's very clearly explained.
I assume LA. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody well, obviously knows. They're making nobody the big knows. Time movies there, like Christmas Slay. I mean, that's, you can't do that anywhere.
Yeah, very true. Very true. That makes sense. There we go.
And it is very nice weather the whole time. It's got to be, yeah. I mean, it could be like a really lush part of Arizona, but I don't think so.
Yeah. Oh, man, yeah, I'm watching the part where Ernest does those air brakes. Yeah, he stops right before the ground. Centimeters.
Yeah.
Just straight down. It's pretty impressive.
I mean, I'm pretty sure if you could examine the pants of those elves, like, they would be, they probably peed.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
Probably dropped a lump of coal or two.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so yeah, so Ernest returns the sleigh just in time, and the magic is passed down to Joe, who then allows Ernest to help him out on his route for the Christmas or Christmas Eve. So very triumphant way to end the movie, I think.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you, if you be like Ernest, then maybe someday you can ride Santa's sleigh.
Oh, man. Or Charlie, or, you know, whatever orphan kid Santa picks up on his way.
Yeah.
Elf.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, no, I think it's good times. That's just the happy part. Because, you know, Ernest, you know, he's like, oh, you know, it's all over. But Santa has not forgotten what Ernest has done for him. And... You know, even with the elves kind of saying no, you know.
He's probably solidified on the good list, you know,
yeah.
When you think about it.
I kind of wonder how that night turned out because that was his first night, you know, delivering presents. I bet you there probably was a few kids that got skipped that year.
That'd be hard, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine it would probably it'd be a longer movie if they showed the entire thing, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, hey, if Ernest is on the ride, I don't mind.
Yeah, the speed they were going. Oh, I don't know. I mean, with Ernest driving, maybe they actually did better than normal. Maybe they even picked up a few, you know,
yeah.
Kids.
Yeah, the air brakes down at the end, yeah.
Yeah.
He probably knocked over a lot of stuff, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Well, Tim, I think we did it. We went over all of Ernest's Christmas. Oh, what a dream. What a movie.
It's finally happened, you know? It's
just like you this never, podcast you, is almost going to be an hour long.
You think, you know, like, I'm not sure if I'm ever going to be able to achieve anything in my life. And then something like this happens, and it's like, wow.
When we first started the show, I'm like, is there ever going to be an episode that is just really going to be the one that I think is going to take us off? You know, I was brainstorming, and then boom, this one here.
Yeah, this is it.
This is the one.
This is where it all started, you know?
This is a movie everyone has seen.
It started with a mouse, and this is like...
It all started with an earnest. An earnest desire. You could say that.
An earnest desire to make a podcast that was an experience that is the most outer possible.
Oh, very outer. That's why we had to review this. This is the reason why I got into the biz.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, Cole, what do you think? Like, if you had to, like, just kind of sum it up, why should everyone everywhere watch Ernest Saves Christmas this holiday season?
Well, Ernest Saves Christmas is a brilliant reminder of how we should act at Christmas. We should allow ourselves to embrace the child within, to help others, and to, you know, experience a little bit of magic. What about you, Tim? Give me your sales pitch for Ernest Saves Christmas and why it should be on the top of your list for your Christmas holiday.
It's just a good time. And I think what you said, I could echo it like 100%. I think I would have actually said it exactly the same way. This is a movie that makes me laugh. It makes me cry. It makes me remember what Christmas is all about. Ernest, he's a kid at heart. You know, I mean, and he kind of teaches us all that, you know, no matter how old we get, no matter how different we are, any of that kind of stuff, Christmas is for us. You know, it's for having a good time. It's for peace on earth and goodwill to men and women.
So, beautifully said.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and if I had to rate this movie, I'd give it a perfect 38 out of 38. What about you, Tim?
That is exactly. I think you'd have to rate it on a 38 scale. It's the only.
There's a lot of different elements in this one that most of them don't qualify for, but this one gets it.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right, Tim. Well, thank you for coming aboard, and thank you for those who listened to this beautiful episode. Go watch Ernest Saves Christmas and then send us an email about it, outerexperiencepodcast@gmail.com. We will read your thing on the show if you write a review. So there's your incentive.
Dude, I'm totally doing it.
Yeah, and always remember, if you're in the experience,
you gotta get out of it. Was I not supposed to say that?
No, you did good.
Okay.
Harmonize.
Good.
I'll go low. Ready?
All right.
And you go high. Ready? If you're in the experience, you gotta get out of it. Beautiful.
That was good. Yeah, that was amazing.